Morning, everyone. It's a joy to be here today. I'm so looking forward to the service this morning. We have a speaker who's come from the New Life Church in Congleton. How many of you have been there? They do good coffee and cakes. Excellent. And it is such a joy to welcome Steve amongst us this morning, together with this little contingent that have come as well. But we'll look forward to hearing him later. Wait a moment, where we are. It's quite amazing how God works. The subject this morning is witnessing. And I just thought, how lovely is that? The beauty of witnessing is that we show the heart of God to the people who do not yet know him. And through our witness, who knows what God can do? And so we will learn so much more about that. At the very beginning of time, before time began, God was. And in Genesis chapter 1, I love to start with the word of God. The verse says this: "In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said," his first words, "let there be light." And there was light. Isn't that wonderful? And so he brought into vision what the world was to be, the beauty of his creation, the wonder of his creation. And so we're going to sing a lovely hymn that speaks about the earth being dark until Christ spoke. The earth was dark until you spoke.
Till every heart can see my love shall rise.
love that chorus. Lights to the world. We are lights to the world. We reflect the very light of Christ. The love of Christ is in us. And surely, if he is with us, he must shine through us. And that is the power of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of his presence in us. I just love that hymn, that Christ burst through the darkness and brought light to the world. Let us come together in prayer. Our Heavenly Father and loving Lord, we come once again into your presence to worship you as your body, your people joined together out of that one love that is of Christ. Lord, forgive us when we do not speak of you enough. Lord, forgive us when we do not stretch out our hand to help another when we should. But Lord, we thank you that you give us opportunities to be your servant, the one who serves the people you have called, the people you are calling. We do worship and praise you this morning because you are the very light of our lives. And Lord, we want to thank you that you came into each of our lives here present. And if there is but one amongst us that does not yet know you, Lord, may this time together this morning reveal your love, your light, and your purpose for their lives. And so we worship you, we lay ourselves before you, and we ask, Lord, that you will fill us afresh with the light of your love. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen.
And now we'll share together in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, from evil, for thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen. Witnessing. Woohoo. I was sitting in my front room at the beginning of the week and I looked around and beside me was, it's a little book, Who Has Our Daily Bread in Our Church and Uses It Daily? A very useful, just enough scripture so that you're not bogged down by it and you forget what you've read. Just enough to take in what God is trying to say. Now I thought, well, just out of interest, I'll have a peep and see what it says for the 1st of March today. I opened its pages, and God has a wonderful way of working in little ways to affirm and confirm his purpose. I knew what Steve was going to speak about, and the heading at the beginning was, Go and Tell of Jesus. Way! Wasn't that good? It was like an affirmation of someone who was going to visit us and speak about witnessing, caring and loving. Then it gets a great challenge, that wonderful verse in Romans chapter 10, verse 14. And it says this. I believe here we are, get the right spot. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth you profess your faith. Verse 14. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? How can people believe unless they've heard and knew something about him? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? I don't like that word preaching. I like the word sharing with them, speaking with them. And how can they hear without someone who shares his love to them? And how can anyone speak unless they are sent? And it's so important that we realize that because I am standing at the front this morning and because other preachers and ministers stand at the front on occasions, we are no different to you. We are redeemed people who are loved by the Lord, whose lives have been changed by him. And we walked in darkness before we knew him. Now, this is a strange thing. It was a very practical and real thing. We see things differently when we become Christ's person. He fills our heart with his heart, and he pierces the darkness of people's emotions, circumstances, and feelings. And I just loved it when Christ came to me. I did not go to him. He came to me, and I agreed wonderfully, so grateful, when my conversion happened, to follow him. Jesus calls us, and are we willing to respond to that call? But how can he call us if people have not heard? We, each one, are missionaries. We should go out and we should tell when we have the right opportunity. My dear friends, we do not swap people with Jesus. We share him with people. And that's that. In that sharing, he is loved. And it says here at the bottom of our little, our daily bread, how can you share the message of Christ with those who don't yet know him? And secondly, what tangible things can you do this week to show someone that you care? Many of us are not able to speak in public, and we are a little bit shy about addressing a friend or an acquaintance about Jesus. But we have hands. We have feet. We can go and be with them. We can sit with them in their sadness. We can rejoice with them when good things have happened. We share that love of God through us to them, not by word, but by action, perhaps. And these friends and acquaintances will wonder, what is different about that? Why was my heart warmed when she spoke to me or he spoke to me? Why did I feel a bit squirmy when she pointed out there was something in my life that was not honouring? So God uses us in many different ways. And I want you all to realise this morning that all of us have a way to be used by God to bring light into another person's life. And it says at the end of this, it says, Dear God, and I say this on my behalf and on all of our behalfs, Dear God, please help me to share Jesus as you help me. So we, in a sense, respond to what Christ has done for us, don't we? We're going to hear a lot more about witnessing and caring and sharing, I'm sure, later, which is, I'm sitting here or standing here feeling very excited about that. And we're going to sing a lovely hymn, How Shall They Hear Who Have Not Heard? And it reflects from those scriptures, Get up and go and tell. Thank you. Begins here, right? This is where Christ has drawn us on a Sunday as his people. And this is where we witness and uphold each other in the faith that we have in him. And it's here that we come. If our hearts are sad, we know that we will be surrounded by those who understand and will lift and not only hold you today, but in the days to come. And witnessing, when it begins here, has to go beyond these walls, out there, eventually to lands further afield. And I'm going to invite Lynn and Chris to come to speak about the day they spent concerning Te Karua, the charity we support. Please do come. Thank you.
Good morning, church family. Lovely to see you. Yes, yesterday was the 10th anniversary of Te Karua, and I had the privilege of travelling with George and Chris Hill to go to Leicester to where the 10th anniversary was happening. And it was so wonderful because the whole team from Te Karua came over. How wonderful to meet all those people who, the Albanians, who have been drawn into that ministry through Dan and Annie in Albania there. So I'm going to come in prayer. Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you for what was shared yesterday. We thank you for that obvious witness of your light being shone in a country which, Lord, has very dark pockets of strongholds that your people are reaching into. And Lord, we thank you for that ministry. We thank you for the whole family that belong to Dan and Annie and the family of Te Karua. We thank you, Father God. We thank you that they are still from this country going back and forward to support the work, but they've got that team there to reach into the hearts of those disenfranchised people, the Romanies, and the people who hitherto lived off food on the rubbish dumps, Lord. We just thank you for your witness there in Albania. Amen. Amen.
Just want to read a verse that they had yesterday. By the way, this is the flag, the Albanian flag. And I was saying to Lynn this morning, she looks like she's sort of the back-to-front flag because she's black on red. She's a mixture of black and red. So, there's just a verse that they said, and it was 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 to 9, to encourage us, really. So I planted the seed, Apollo watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labour. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. So that came across very strongly yesterday, that although the folk are out there, the Albanians and Annie and Dan have set up this ministry, it's God's ministry, really. And it's our ministry because we are praying, we're giving. Some have gone out. Heather went out, I'm not sure if it was a year ago or two. And there is the opportunity to go out if anyone feels strongly about that. And just to say that the team are so lovely, and a lot of them that were really quite young felt quite old yesterday. And I'd like to just pray for them individually, because they're going to be going around various churches and sharing the churches that are supporting them financially now, because BMS can't do that now. So we have the pastor, Yuri. He is the pastor of the church there. We have Rogers, who is a social worker. And Ilse, who is a social worker. Then we have Gina, who is a physio. Reva and Irena. I think it's Irena, who are physios as well. And Matilda, who is heading up the work now, who's heading up the ministry, who is a lovely lady. And just what Jenny said made me think. She said, I'm not just a believer, I'm a follower. And she became a Christian when she was 13. So if we just pray, close with praying for them now. So we pray, Lord. We pray for Yuri, the church pastor in Albania. We pray for Rogers, social work, and Ilse in social work. And the people that they've helped, Lord, and the people that they continue to help. We pray for the physios. We thank you for Zena, for Revi, and for Irena. And for the others who are still out there in Albania, but we pray for them, Lord, as they go around different churches to speak in the next few days. They're not used to this, Lord. It's something new for them. And some of them may be a bit scared standing up on this stage and speaking. So we pray for courage. We pray for your love. And we thank you for that team out in Albania who just shone for you with the love of Jesus. Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Thanks. Oops, sorry, Jen, that's your pen on the floor. There we go.
Thank you. Great. Thank you very much. It is wonderful to think that we have a part in that work in Takura. And so now we are going to pray for the needs of the people here in our fellowship. Let's come together in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, when we come to church full of hope, full of inspiration, and full of joy at meeting one with another. But Lord, amongst us are those who are grieving the loss of loved ones. And we think particularly of Kay, the loss of her dear husband, George. We ask, Lord, that you will sustain her and uphold her. And Lord, that we uphold Mary also, who lost her husband a little while ago now. But nevertheless, the missing of them is greatly felt for many months and years ahead. Be to them their strength, be to them the one in whom they can rest, and Lord, the one in whom they can have confidence. There are amongst us too, Lord, those who are not well, who are waiting for hospital appointments. I think particularly of Lou Farry, who falls so many times. We thank you, Lord, that she has not injured herself in the falling, but we pray that her knee will at last be replaced in the very near future. It must be so depressing to know that you're going to fall in that week and to do nothing about it. Lord, just be with her and sustain her. She said to me that she misses church. Oh, Lord, we do. If we cannot come and we are regular, we do miss the fellowship, the love, and the feeling of your presence amongst us as a people. So, Lord, there are others in our fellowship too who are going through difficult times, but we ask that you will bless them, sustain them, uphold them. And, Lord, for those of us who have no particular anxiety or worry, I pray, Lord, that you will continue to make us sensitive to the needs of others, that if someone seems apart from us, in our fellowship, to draw alongside and just be there, Lord, so that if they need to speak, they know there is someone who will listen, someone who will empathize with them and sustain them through a difficult time. So, Lord, again, we thank you that you are a God who upholds us in all the circumstances of life. And we just ask you to continue to bless, to uphold us, and above all, to use us to your glory. Amen.
Amen.
I was looking around. We only have one little tiny child here. And we have a... Oh, you were so tiny at the moment, I couldn't see. I'm so sorry. I'll have to stand on a little box, I think, because being so small, I can't see folks either. Well, in that case, I will bring out my little friend. My little friend has been here before. He's called Squig. So pleased to see everyone again. It was quite strange. When we came last time, we were saying, you mustn't be afraid of being different. And blow me, look on that wall on the red poster there. I didn't know that until after I'd spoken. It's okay to be different. And how different can you be to this funny little platypus who's got a beak, he's got fins on his feet, lays eggs, got fur, and he swims, is not a fish, is not a bird, it's a platypus. Be who you are. But I want to say to young people, we've been talking about witnessing, haven't we?
Yes, we have.
That's right. And do you like telling people things? He says, yes, I do. He speaks animal language and I know what he says. So what I want to say to you young people, you too can tell them about your fellowship, Messy Church, if you come to Messy Church on a Saturday, let people know. Do you like Messy Church? Clap, 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 clap. You sure do. And you can let people know you've been to Messy Church. You've been to church. It was nice. I'd like you to come. I told you this before. I'm sorry about this, but I think it's worth repeating. Do you remember Staley Bridge? Staley Bridge is just 45 minutes away down the road. A very small church was there, only about 3 or 4 children. And I said to the congregation, I challenge you to bring one person, to church this year. Had a whole year to do it. What was the little boy called? He was called Robin. Robin, that's right. He was 7 years old. And he said to his friends, would you like to come to my church with me? And the next week, he brought 7 children. Oh. Young people, you can tell them about the things you do here, the things you enjoy at Messy Church, how nice it is to speak about Jesus and about God. And you know, someone might come with you. Yeah, that would be good. Yeah, look at that. Absolute joy. Absolute joy over there. So, you know, seriously, young people, you can bring another young person to church. That Sunday school grew to how many children? 40. 40 children. More children than the adults. But how wonderful was that work of that little Robin. He was a good lad, wasn't he? Yeah, very, very good. He deserves a clap. Well done, well done. He's gone to sleep already, my goodness. So now we're going to have a short time of praise, and then the last song we sing, we're going to have the offering. Thank you.
God's looking for a people who are willing to be counted in His glorious victory. Oh, here I am, only available. And for me, I will serve the Lord. A song are we ready to save us? In darkness are we ready to be light? God's seeking out a very special people to manifest His truth.
If our God is with us,
so much. Lord, we bring these gifts to you. We ask your blessing upon them, for the 5 children that we support throughout the world. So, Lord, for this church, may the gifts you have given us, now returned, be a blessing not only to us, but to many. Amen.
Amen.
And now our young people will be leaving, but I'd like to wish them, under the Lord in prayer, a blessing. Lord, we ask your blessing upon our young people that go to their classes now. May they really enjoy being together, and may there be much laughter and fun, and also, Lord, much to think about. We thank you for them. Amen.
Amen.
And now I'm going to bring you the Bible reading, after which Steve will come and perk your ears back. We look forward to all he's going to tell us. And so it's in 1 Thessalonians. quick flip through here. We have 1 Corinthians, Thessalonians. Which takes a while when you're looking, doesn't it? It's not my Bible, so it's not easy to find the same. Righty-ho, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember you before our God, our Father, and the work produced by faith, your labour prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You know how we live among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it. For they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescued us from the coming wrath. And now it's my pleasure and my joy to invite Steve to come forward.
Just ask the Lord to bless him.
Thank you.
Lord Jesus, we commend your servant here this. We look forward to what you have prepared in his heart to say. May it not only be an inspiration to him, but also to each one of us. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Steve.
Now we just bring a prayer as well. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for that letter to the Christians in Thessalonica. And we thank you, Lord. And we pray always, Lord, that for this church here in Sambach, for all your churches, that, Lord, we will be a church is not just of words, but of power, the power of the Holy Spirit. And we pray, Lord, that you will open doors for our message. You will open hearts and minds to hear the good news of Jesus, which is so much needed in these days of turbulence and uncertainty. We pray, Lord, your grace and mercy to prevail. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Well, thank you, first of all, for your kind invitation. You don't know what you're getting, because they'll tell you at New Life Church, don't get him up to preach. But I just usually do the notices and things like that, talk about the money. But I'll tell you a little bit about my story first of all. But just to say, it's nice to be here in Sandbach. And we were just saying earlier on, I was a bank manager here in Sandbach from 1985 to 96. And I remember opening the bank account for this church with Dennis there. And I think it went under the name of the Sandbach Evangelical Church, I believe. And I visited the church on several occasions. Thank you. It's good to be together with you. It was round about the same time that New Life Church in Congleton was formed. I think it was 41 years ago. I'll share some things in a few moments. But just a little bit about myself. I grew up in church. I can never remember not believing in God, believing in Him, and singing all the hymns, which I love to sing, and so on. And I was a choir boy, probably from the age of about 7, till my voice broke and I couldn't sing anymore. Well, not get the notes in the right order anyway. I think when a lot of my friends stopped going to church, my mum and dad went to church and I went, and I used to sit on the back row. They were all out playing football and I'm here. Well, then I came to Sandbach School, to the boys' school across the road. And when I left, when I was 16, I was going to get a job in a bank. And the vicar, as well as the head teacher, the vicar gave me an excellent reference. You had to have references for things in those days. So having given me an excellent reference, he asked me to be the assistant treasurer because I worked in a bank. Because I couldn't say no, having given me such a good reference. So I still had to go to church on a Sunday evening to count the money. And then I had to join the parochial church council. I don't know if any of you are from an Anglican background, but there's a lot of rigmarole goes on. So thankfully, then this new vicar arrived, I'd upgraded from assistant to full treasurer. I used to go and get the cheque signed on a Thursday evening. So I got very close to him. He was a young, fiery Welshman. He said to me on about the second time I went down, he said, "You know, Stephen, you're not a real Christian." Whoa. I said, "I've been coming to this church longer than you. You've only just arrived." And he said, "Well, if you think just going to church makes you a Christian, go home and sleep in your garage and see if you wake up as a motor car." Well, I thought about that. I thought, it made me stop and think. And a lot of my friends who I'd grown up with, they weren't church going or anything. And he said, "Well, you've got to be born again. You've got to get the Holy Spirit. You've got to get a new life on the inside." So it took me a little while to get there, but I did. And I'm so grateful. My wife, Christine, sadly lost her a few years ago from cancer. But she also became a Christian. We really got on fire. It was in the days of this charismatic renewal that was going on. We started to meet and we really came alive. In fact, couldn't contain it. I was telling all my friends, all my neighbours. You were saying about the children telling one more child. I was telling all my friends, but they didn't want to know, sadly. One or two have come round now over the years, but it was quite a sort of a real challenging time in one sense. But I really thought, this is what God's called me for. I really couldn't stop talking about Jesus. And I'm still doing it. Sometimes I wind people up. but there we are. When the church began, we had a little fellowship. We never intended to be a church. It was just a little fellowship. But it just grew and grew and grew and grew. So in the end, it started in our front room, my front room, and it just grew and grew until we really became established as a church. Although people thought we were some weird sect, I don't know if you know the Congleton people, but they're not as upmarket as the Sandbach people. Anyway, I'm really privileged to be part of Sandbach as well as Congleton. Through my career and my association with the school, I was a governor for 30 years across at the boys' school and so on. So let's go on to the vision and the witnessing. The vision was always, pardon me, to reach the people that the other churches weren't reaching. We didn't want to be in competition with other churches. We want to be supplementary. And we didn't know what to call ourselves at that point. And somebody came up with this idea, let's call ourselves the Heineken Church. Now, some of you may be old enough to remember an advert for, was it Heineken beer? Reaching the parts the other beers couldn't reach. But we thought it wouldn't go down too well, really, and we'd probably get in trouble with the Trades Description Act and goodness knows what. So we call ourselves the New Life Church because that's what we'd experienced, New Life. And so it's gone from there. And our hope was to reach people that nobody else was reaching. And really, basically, that's what we've been doing ever since. And now there's sort of probably 200, 300 people who are members of the church. If they all turned up on the same day, I don't think we'd all fit in. But I'm going to show you a few pictures of because it began with a vision that God gave me. I was still in the Church of England then. We're in the choir stalls, and the reading was from Nehemiah. This evening, have we got that reading up? Right. And Nehemiah was—he got a message about how the walls of Jerusalem had all broken down, and they were all—and he was very sad, and he went into a time of prayer and fasting and weeping, and bewailing the fact that there was a disgrace to the name of God because of the walls. And we're there, and God, I got my eyes closed listening to this, and God took me on a journey round Congleton, right? Now, I don't know how many know Congleton, but he took me to all these different chapels that had closed down. Some were garages, some were houses. Now, have you got a slide with those on? And we went round and took some, this was up recently, I took some pictures of this. And one's a tire place, that's in Queen Street. These were thriving chapels filled with hundreds and hundreds of people every Sunday. Pardon me. And so I felt this shame, really, and we needed to do something about it. And this little group of people that I was meeting with, that's when we started to reach out, to rebuild the church, if you like. As Nehemiah had got permission from the king then, where in Babylon, to go and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And I had this vision of them of being rebuilt and the church being rebuilt. And Nehemiah used all the different tribes, and they all built one section, a different section of the wall and the gates. And I saw it's not a one-man job, it's an everybody job. And everybody with different gifts, those who are great with children, they can build the children's ministry, all the different things that were going on. And that we had to be the church that was going to do something in the community once again. I mean, some of you are probably old enough to remember the church was always the heart of the community, and it had lost its way, basically, generally speaking. So can I have the next slide, please? So that was the vision that we had to bring God's new life to Congleton and beyond. I was interested, you were talking about the work that you do, where was it in? There. And we Two young men went out from New Life Church to China and have built a whole ministry in China. It was a long time ago originally, when it's about 30 years ago, when they had a one-child policy in China, and they were abandoning children, particularly if they had any disability. And these two lads set up a whole ministry looking after children, which we still support it now. But I think it's wonderful that we here are blessed, aren't we, in this country, and we can help with finance and prayer to make things happen overseas and spread the good news there. Could I have the next slide, please? This is my favourite one. The church is a battleship, not a cruise liner. Have you got the message for that? We're all on active service. Now, I do realise sometimes on any battleship, there's a hospital section as well for anybody who's not so well or a bit injured. But then you recover, and when the alarm goes, battle stations, we all man our battle stations, don't we? And that's what we've got to do as church. We're all on active service. We're not bottoms on seats. And I think that's really important that we've got that message. Next slide, please. Right. So, yeah, we've been recognised by, I think it was Cheshire East or one of these organisations, that we become a hub in the community, and it's been blessed that we were very blessed to acquire the old Naughty Boys School in Congleton, which is called Danesford. Those of you might know it was a Naughty Boys School. We still got some Naughty Boys of us there. We're all redeemed sinners now. I've got a little video to show you of how over the last few years we've been able to develop like a community aspect that's brought the church into the heart of the community, and we've got God in the heart of the church. So are we all right for the right button? New Life began with a vision, and our vision was to reach out to the whole community of Congleton, and that's embodied in the trust deed when we very first began.
With caring ministries, things have just sort of grown little by little, and really it's as needs have been identified, there is a place at which you can receive care. But one of the places where I think we see the most daily action, if you like, is in the food bank.
The storehouse started about 15 years ago. It's changed quite a lot over the last 5 years. Since we went into lockdown initially, the demand increased by about 200% overnight. So we do consistently still feed about 50 people a week. Maria goes out every single morning. She's absolutely wonderful. We couldn't do it without her. And she drives around all the different supermarkets every day.
It gets me out of bed in the morning. I meet some lovely people. We have a really good laugh. Because I live on my own, it's really nice to sort of get out and about.
I'm a volunteer because I have the time and the spirit, if you like. And with the growing number of people using us, we are very much needed. And we also pay fair share, and they deliver on a Wednesday. And it's quite amazing how the public are really, really appreciative of what we have.
What we try and do here at New Life Church is we're not just addressing the issue of needing food today and for the rest of the week. What our aim is to do is to provide that wraparound support so that they can then hopefully change the situation that they're in. It might be that somebody who comes for a food parcel is then referred for debt advice. There's lots of different elements.
There's always been a need for people to get debt support. Today, we have very complicated cases. We see clients that are referred from Cheshire East Social Care, Cheshire East Mental Health Reablement, but a lot of clients come from within caring ministries. So we might have somebody who comes in for help with benefits, and they find out that actually there's a debt issue, vice versa as well. Everyone's really good at working together for the benefit of the people who need the support.
We've got an amazing benefit support group, and we have people being referred to us all the time by the job centre, from the GPs from the local authority, from the mental health units, because they know that we will give that wraparound support to their vulnerable clients to bring a life-changing solution into that situation.
I can honestly say, if it hadn't been for Catherine, I wouldn't be here. The help and support of that lady is absolutely brilliant, top class.
We've also got a great team here at church. So quite recently, I referred somebody to our counselling service. There have been times their children involved, and I will go straight to one of the family support workers.
My role as family support encompasses loads of different aspects. For instance, running a parenting course for parents of children with additional needs and helping to run Little Angels, the toddler group. But a lot of my role is supporting families in the community. So we could get referrals in from social services for a family that are really struggling, and then we will stay with the family for as long as they need us. But we also support with signposting them to other specialist support within the church. We're not experts in debt advice. We're not experts in counselling, so we will refer them on. So it's very much about empowering them.
Counselling is more than listening. It's helping that person to hear themselves, to find that way forward, because they're the ones with the answer. And they come into this building and they feel different. They feel it's a safe place to come to. As a Christian, there's that compassion for people who are in need, those who are in difficulties. That's where Care Ministries comes from. And we don't just care about the ones in our own church, it's those outside of the church who we want to help. We can get referrals from, for example, mental health team, Reablement team, but we get referrals from within, so all the ministries can refer into us. It could be food bank, it could be family support, Jubilee Club. I have a great connection with them.
We were meeting people who were in places where they were feeling isolated, really. And the Jubilee Club is for people of all ages, all backgrounds, who want to come, discover something new and make new friendships and just enjoy it for what it's there for, which is that place of safety and encouragement. And I am so thankful for all the volunteers that we have, because they're just making it such a nice, hospitable place.
I set up the tea, coffee, ready for them to come in and just chat to them, make them feel comfortable.
I had a bit of an history prior to coming here. I was a drug addict and on the streets, and I lived a different life before I came here, so it's changed me in a lot of ways. Everybody's friendly, there's no judgment. I'm lost without it, I really am.
I also do the forget-me-not group. It makes me feel good. It keeps me active, brain and body. That's very important. But it's a nice feeling.
Morning, everybody.
We started the Forget Me Not Club with about four, and we now have about 33 people. So it's a wide range of ages and a wide range of different dementias, and it is needed. Everybody enjoys themselves. They're always so grateful. I love every single one of them.
It makes you feel special. You're one of a family, and coming to Forget Me Nots, it's our lifeline.
It is all right.
Yeah.
I believe it's truly unique. We're a multiplicity of facilities that connects with just about every section of our community. So it's God's heart that we believe that we're sharing, and that gives us that sense of well-being, seeing people's lives transformed.
Of Nehemiah. Where so many different people are engaged in the building. Most of them are volunteers. You'll saw quite a few retired people here, aren't there? Yeah, you've got some spare time. I just think it's important. I believe that is one of the ways in which we are being a witness as church to a community. And you're reaching out to different people that churches generally don't necessarily meet. But then I'll tell you a little bit more about how we pass on the message to them in a second or two. So that gives us a picture of what we're doing. Have you got the next slide, please? Yeah, we've got a nursery preschool. We've got a coffee. Somebody mentioned the coffee shop. We've got a coffee shop. It's an open door. And we're very blessed, as I said, to have the building that we've got. And it's an open door to Jesus. That's how we like to see it. Now, when people turn up to begin with, they're not looking for Jesus. They're looking for coffee or a preschool. But we make sure we tell them about Jesus one way or another, which I'll share with you in a second. Next slide, please. Just put your hand up if you're familiar with the parable of the sower. Ah, most people, good. Well, you'll see there, it's not a tractor with a big machine drilling into the ground and sowing the seed. It's an individual. And we're all individuals. And we could say, well, why doesn't somebody else do it? But the responsibility, Jesus said, we're not all going to be evangelists, but we are all witnesses. And I believe it's like the parable of the sower. We sow the seed. It's our job to sow it. And you mentioned the reading from Romans about, and it does actually goes on. It says, how beautiful are the feet of those who take the good news. I'm not going to check all your feet for beauty, but I do believe that it is important that we go out and spread this good news. The world needs Jesus. Sambach needs Jesus. Congleton needs Jesus. hopefully we can get that message out. And if you know the parable of the sower, some fell on the path and that was just eaten by the birds. And I know we tell some people and they just dismiss it. And some falls on very shallow ground with rocky soil and there's no depth. Some get tangled up with the weeds and all the things of the world. But some falls on good ground, produces a crop of 100-fold. And so many people that we've led to Jesus tell other people who tell other people. And so it's multiplying. I love that word, multiplying, because we're not just adding, we need to multiply. And I think that's the challenge for us today, in today's world, to spread the good news. I don't know if you picked up things from the Christian press and that there's a quiet revival going on. There are 50% more people attending church now than there were 6 years ago. And a lot of that is amongst the young adults, particularly young men. And I think it's important that we're listening to that and making sure that we're tuned in to what God is doing. Let's join in with him. I think that's really important. Some ways of sowing seeds, and if we don't sow seeds, we've no harvest, have we? And one of the songs we sang was, "The time is ripe, ready for harvest," and collecting souls unto Jesus. Next slide, please. So we go into the primary schools. Over the years, we've got four full-time paid people, younger people, who go into the high schools and the primary schools, and we're teaching the Bible into those places. And I think that's really important because we're sowing seeds. Many of us, when we went to school, we had a daily assembly. There was a prayer and a hymn, a Bible reading and so on. That's all vanished now out of schools, high schools, primary schools. So we've prayed for the doors to open and we can go in. We do lessons with all sorts of things. We've got, I don't know if it's got on there. Yeah, Open the Book, Bible Explorer, Christmas in a Box, which we do in conjunction with other churches in the town. And assemblies and lessons. We do things like fair trade and things like that. The schools will welcome you in to do things like that. And hear about that. And you can add in your story of why you're there. You've got to be careful, but if you do it sensibly. And the secondary schools, next slide please. We've got a chaplaincy in one of the high schools, Christian Union in the other high school, regular lessons, I say, oh, Milkshake Monday, that's very popular. That's in the coffee shop, and we're located between the two high schools in the town, so a lot of young people come, and they get a free milkshake on a Monday. Then they get Jesus as well. In fact, through this connection, we've got 26 young people in the last 2 or 3 weeks on the Youth Alpha course. I think that's fantastic. And they're telling their friends to come. Yeah, it's brilliant, isn't it? Now, I've got to tell you about one of my favourite things is taking the Bible into schools. It's now called Good News for Everyone. It used to be called the Gideons. There we are. It's wonderful. We have this wonderful, this is a Hope magazine. I always leave some of these with the teachers when we go in. It's an amazing book. It's got all about the Psalms, and there's a prayer at the back to lead people to Jesus. And I think we've got some here. Dennis is the chairman of the South Cheshire branch. So we cover from Congleton to Nantwich, all the schools there. And sometimes the schools are closed, so we have to do a lot of praying. And the school at Allsage had been closed for quite a few years. And we prayed and prayed and prayed. And a few Mondays ago, I was in there with 265 little red ones. We had the library, they visited us in the library. Have I got the slide up for the boys' school? Yes. Those of you who know the Sandbach School motto, Sandbach School, the benefactors were all Christians. The houses are named after them. Wells, Ward, Lee and Craig, they were all Christian benefactors. Some who founded it, some who supported it financially. And that motto, as you sow, so shall you reap, so shall the harvest be. And I thought, boy, that's perfect for talking about sowing and reaping. Our job is to sow and our job is to reap. In the meantime, God will water and let it grow. And I believe it's a wonderful organisation. Now, Dennis, who's our chairman, he'd be looking for a few more recruits. Is that right, Dennis? For everybody that signs up, he's going to give me a tenner today. So if anyone would like to join us in our little branch, giving out the good news, passing on the message, you'll be very welcome. And talk to Dennis afterwards. I think that's really special. And thank you, Dennis, for all your wonderful work there. Oh, and there's a little, this is the ones we give out to anybody, just a personal witness. We've got them with the Cheshire Constabulary on. Anytime a policeman comes into New Life Church, usually to arrest me, but I said, oh, have I given you one of these before? The fire service of Cheshire, they've got their embossed ones. And so on. And when we go to the Cheshire show with them, we've got an agricultural one. So whenever we can, get the news out. That's what we're here for. Because I believe that we needed to do that. Oh, and also, of course, I'm in Sandbach, the crosses. I always tell the Year 7 pupils, have you visited the crosses? Go and see them. I think it was during the King of when the King of Mercia became a Christian. I don't know, before 1,000 years, AD 800 or 900 or something, he became a Christian. The crosses were erected when people couldn't read and write, but the symbols of the Christian faith are in the crosses. So I tell all the Year 7 pupils, I say, get down there and go and check it all out. I think it's good to do that. Just quickly, some, I don't want to run out of time, some recent outreaches. Next slide, please. Next one. Alpha. Have you heard of the Alpha course? Have you done it? It's fantastic. I would say of New Life Church, 50% of the people in the church have come through Alpha. And going back to the good news and the feet, happy of the feet, we usually get, I think the last lot was 5,000 of these leaflets. And there are lots of new houses being built now. Sandbach, Congleton, Old Sager. Nothing else. Well, we won't go on Cheshire East, will we? We'll miss that. So we'll order 5,000 or 6,000 leaflets and persuade enough people who are reasonably fit to go around and put them through the letterboxes. You don't knock on the doors, but put them through. But it always brings some people in. Sometimes when they've had about four of these, year after year, they eventually turn up. So it's a good thing to have. Next one, please. And these are just some recent special events. You can reach different people groups with different speakers and so on. This was a guy called Andrew Whitman. He wrote the book When Jesus Met the Hippies. I don't know if you remember, back in the 60s and 70s, some of you won't remember it, but there was a movement with the hippies, and a lot of them became Christians, and there's a film, and we showed this film. And we did it again. We reached a group of people that we wouldn't normally have reached by putting that on. The next one, Rod Williams is a magician, and he does some amazing tricks. We set the room out, in a sort of cabaret style, and a bit of entertainment, a few refreshments, and make an evening of entertainment. And people come, and they bring their friends. People from the church, it's a safe place, if you're a Christian, to bring your friends to for a nice evening. But they'll hear the message about Jesus, and they'll get a leaflet or a booklet or something like that. Next one. Christmas, we do the Salt Mine Theatre Company come, and that packed out with lots of children, but they bring their parents. Oh, no, they don't. Oh, yes, they do. But they have a fantastic time, and it keeps us connected. When they've come through the nursery and the families, they don't all suddenly become Christians and join the church. But they stay connected, so they'll come to the pantomime at Christmas and things like that. And the next one, this was the last one we did just a couple of weeks ago. Jesus, the Evidence. That was an amazing event. Forgotten his name now. Derek. What was his name? McIntyre, he was Scottish from Glasgow. That was an amazing evening. And again, a fantastic booklet showing the evidence that Jesus did exist. Because a lot of people, it's aimed at atheists and agnostics. And we had quite a few there. So it was quite good. And some people from the church brought their atheist and agnostic friends. So that was quite good as well. And just coming up, just next one, please. You've all heard of Billy Graham, haven't you? Right, well, he's passed into glory, but his son, Franklin Graham, still working for the organisation. They're coming to Manchester on the 3rd of October. And I went to a introductory meeting a few weeks ago. It's going to be at the Co-op Arena in Manchester, in Gorton, where they just had this election, in Gorton, somewhere near the Manchester City football ground, anyway. It holds about 30,000 people, and it's all being paid for by the organisation from people in America who are doing it. And I've booked a bus, a 50-seater bus, on condition, the buses are free, on condition that you fill it half with your church, and half with people who are not from your church, You can have the free bus as long as you bring half of 25 people, basically, who are not yet Christians, who will hear the gospel, Billy Graham style. So I don't know if that's reached Sandbach yet, but it's got as far as Congleton so far. But if you're interested, I can get you the details to send to you, and you can sign up for it and get involved. So I think they're good opportunities. And I'd just like to leave you with one little challenge. Next one, please. Those who've got YouTube on your tellies, tune in to Daniel Kruger. He gave a speech, hardly anybody else there to listen to him, the MPs, but if you can tune in to his parliamentary speech, that it was an amazing talk to about the nation and how we need God in the nation. And really, it's based a little bit more about the Church of England, but it's worth listening to get the picture for it. And also, I've had the privilege of going to the National Parliamentary Prayer Breakfast for many years now, where 700 people gather in Westminster Hall and to hear the good news. And the Prime Minister's always there, and the Lord Speaker, and so on. And MPs, members of the House of Lords, and church leaders from all over the country are there. And it's an amazing time. And the last speaker, his name is up there, is it? Yes. John Lennox. Not John Lennon. John Lennox. He's a retired professor from Oxford University. And he speaks about God in the public square. How do we all get this message of the Christian faith and Jesus out into the public square? So if you've got time this weekend, tune in on your YouTube and do that. Oh, and finally, a verse from, is it on the next one? Oh, yes. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and I've added Sandbach, Elworth, Wheelock, Bexton, Smallwood, Arklid, I know there's a lot of new houses there, and wherever God can use us. God bless you all in Sandbach. Amen.
Wow. I knew it would be something like that, and what a wonderful challenge in so many different areas. But perhaps this has shed a few more ideas into our minds as well, as individuals and as a church. Thank you so much for all that you've said and shared with us. It's lifted our spirits and done us good.
Thank you very much.
Praise the Lord. Yes, lovely. And he's chosen the most lovely hymn to conclude our service together. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. If we keep our eyes on Jesus, he will direct us as to where our footsteps and our hands and our minds and hearts should go.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Lord, may all else save that thou art. Thou my little soul in the day and the night. Thy presence by thine. Be thou my wisdom, be thou my true word. I ever with thee, and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great
Battle will be won with Christ as our Saviour. Wonderful. Let us bless each other by sharing in the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.